And so we have to look to Scripture for this. There's no other way. And what God says He is belongs to Him. No one else. Just to Himself. For instance, God is love. The quality of love that God has is possessed only by God and to those whom He gives it to. Mankind naturally does not have love. In fact, we learn that children have to learn love when they grow up. They have to learn to express love. It's not a natural occurrence in life. And the kind of man of love that man does possess is a far cry from the kind of love God has. Even the agape love that man possesses, that charitable love, has its drawback. And so we find that only the qualities that are expressed in God are found in God. They're not found in man or anyone else. Without knowing these properties, we would not know God. This is how God expresses Himself. Now, I'd like to look this morning at the thought concerning God found in the book of Deuteronomy. You'll turn with me to Deuteronomy chapter 32 and verse 4. Just read one verse. We'll be turning to different verses to begin with this morning. The Old Testament teaching concerning this quality of God is in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verse 4. He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all His ways are judgment. A God of truth and without iniquity. Just and right is He. You can just hear these words booming out as God speaks about His person, about He who is unique and is the only one. I am the rock. I am the God of truth. I am just. I am right. A very familiar verse in the Gospel of John, chapter 14. And we read in verse 6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. John 14:6. Jesus said, I am the truth. I am He who is truth. I am He who is the source of truth. God acts consistently, always, in the character of who He is. He is the truth. Perfectly consistent. True to Himself entirely, as well as to others. And He proved it upon the cross of Calvary, where Jesus Christ, His Son, became sin. God covered Him with darkness. With His glory, in fact, as we read in Solomon of His temple, how that when God filled the temple with glory, it was a darkness that filled the temple. God covered His Son with His glory so that He could not see His Son. He turned, as it were, His back upon His Son. He is perfectly true to His character. I am the God of truth. Now, since we understand clearly in Scripture that God is the source of all truth, then we also have to acknowledge that God is the source of all written truth and all vocal truth. For anything God says has to be true, because He is true. And we read in John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. So anything God says or writes through mankind has to be true. If God did not say the truth, or did not communicate the truth, or in some way or form shaded the truth in any way, we define that God would not be God. He could no longer be God. This is important to realize. We read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18, that by two immutable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie. It is an impossibility for God to say something that is not true. Well, what if I don't believe what God says? For instance, in the creation of the world, what if I don't accept that? What if I don't believe that Jesus Christ is God, as God says He is? What if I don't accept what God says about the family and the way it should be governed, the structure of the family? What if I don't accept the structure of the local church as God has outlaid it for us? What if I don't accept what He says as the truth? 2 Timothy chapter 2, we read of God's response to this, for He knows us and knows that we hesitate many times to accept the truth of God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, if we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. So you see, this too does not depend on you or me. Just as His faithfulness does not depend on me, His truth does not depend on me. He will not deny Himself, no matter who denies it. So we find that throughout Scripture, that whatever God says or does or is, He is the truth. And we find this expressed, secondly, in His Son, Jesus Christ. As we turn back to the Gospel of John once again, as we seek to lay the groundwork for the application to this truth, we see in John 1, a familiar verse, verse 17, the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 17, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Truth came and was expressed through His Son, Jesus Christ. Again, we're reminded of the verse we read earlier. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth. No other man has been able to say that. I am the truth, and no one can. We find in John chapter 8 about what this truth does. In John chapter 8, we'd like to take a few moments to think concerning these verses. We'll start reading at verse 30. As He spake these words, many believed on Him. Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on Him, if ye continue in My word, then are ye My disciples indeed. And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Verse 36. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed. What does this truth do to you and me? Because God is truth, and because Jesus Christ is the truth, we find that through Him, we are freed. What are we freed from? What is it that truth does to us as human beings that frees us from a bondage? For if you're freed from something, that means you're in bondage to something. This past week, we've seen the hostages return home, and we see signs that have read on TV screens and all over. They are free. Free. Home. Jesus Christ is not talking about this kind of freedom. Freedom from other human beings. He's talking about a more complex type of freedom. You are never freed from something in which you are not in service to something else. You are never freed and then left alone, because that's not freedom. We say that if we had no laws in the United States, then we would be free. That's not true. We would be in worse bondage without laws than if we have them as we do. What is it that we are set free from? If we're set free from something, we have to be in bondage to something else. We have to have something that will govern us to proclaim freedom to us. That's why human beings, angels, are not the truth, because they are not free in themselves. Only God is free in himself. And the truth of God brings that freedom. We know that we have been freed from the law. We read in the Old Testament and how that the law was given to the Israelites, and it was given for them to obey, to be under bondage to. Jesus Christ came to set us free from the law, from that type of bondage. You see, the truth is not the law. Because if the truth was the law, we would not need Jesus Christ. Because truth now can set us free. So you see, truth is not the law. Jesus Christ is the truth, not the law. Now, there was truth in the law. There is truth in us as believers of Jesus Christ. But we are not the truth. The law is not the truth. Otherwise, we would not need Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the truth. And he has come to set us free from the law, from sin, from ourselves that we are in bondage to. Then said that the freest man in the world, no matter what country you're living in, the freest man is the one who is a willing servant to Jesus Christ. The slave is the one who thinks he is his own master, while he is actually the slave of his own lust. The freest one is a servant, is in bondage to a greater master, Jesus Christ. There was a story told in the days of slave traffic, of the auction block, of how that one day there was an auction and there was a young lady on the auction block, and she was being sold into slavery. And during the bidding, as the bidding kept getting higher and higher for this girl, finally there were two gentlemen left. I should say actually one gentleman. And then there was another man who, as the bidding kept increasing the price, he got more forceful. He continued to give out his curses and groanings as the bidding kept getting higher. On the opposite end was a gentleman who quietly kept bidding higher and higher for this young lady. Finally, this embittered man, he quit auctioning, quit bidding because the bid had gone so high. He didn't think the girl was worth it anymore. And so, with a stamp of a hammer, the girl was sold in bondage to this gentleman who had quietly raised the bidding higher and higher. When this young lady was pushed towards her new master, she stood very proudly and defiantly in front of this gentleman and looked at him as if she hated every part of his body. And as she stood there looking at this gentleman, a look of surprise crossed her face. And then a look of utter amazement. For she saw her new master, whom she rightfully now belonged to, she saw him tearing the paper. the papers which said that he was the owner of this young lady. And as she beheld this, she fell down to her knees. And she says, "Oh, Master, thank you, I love you, and I right now will serve you forever. I give of myself to you." And you know, that is exactly what Jesus Christ has done to us. The truth has come from God in the person of Jesus Christ. He's paid for my sin. I come to him through belief, through faith that he did die for my sins. I accept that, and I see him ripping up those papers. My sins are forgiven. I am justified in his sight for an eternity to come. And what is my response? I'm set free to bow before him, to love him, and to serve him forever. So Jesus Christ says, "If the Son therefore shall make you free, ye shall be free indeed." And that's a note of gladness to our hearts. We have been freed from sin, from the law, from myself. I am free to serve Jesus Christ. And so we see the importance of this point, that God is truth. He alone is truth. Truth is not found by someone else. It's only found in God. Professors, those who study the language, the structure, the thoughts of scientists today are searching for truth. Truth is found in God and him alone. No one else can find it but through him. So, we find now that we've been set free because of the truth of God, because of Jesus Christ who is the truth. We've been set free. Free from all bondage. I no longer have to rack my brain to find out why I'm alive, because I have the truth from God himself. I no longer am searching, because I have found the answer. He has set me free from all this. So now I can serve him with my whole heart. Now the scriptures go into great detail of what this truth does for us in a practical way in our life. So let's turn to the second epistle to the book of John. 2 John. And we'll begin reading at verse 1. 2 John verse 1, "The elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. And not I only, but also all they that have known the truth. For the truth's sake, which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever." Verse 4, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth, as we have received a commandment from the Father." Notice especially verse 2. The truth is in us. And no man can say that I am the truth. But every believer in Jesus Christ can exclaim with joy that the truth is in us. Now what is the truth? Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is within us. His home is our body. This is the temple for his glory. The truth now is in us. And the Apostle John says, "I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in the truth, taking steps of faith, living lives consistent with what we say we are." Look at 3 John. Third epistle of John, verse 1, "The elder unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth." Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. How do we walk in truth? We have accepted Jesus Christ in our life. He is within us. We now respond to that truth and we begin to walk in it. In other words, as God reveals the truth of himself to us, we respond to it. You see, there's no dichotomy here. There's no difference. There's no schism between what we say we believe and what we actually are. We are walking in the truth. We're following after that which God has asked us to do. If any man love me, he will keep my commandments. Walking in the truth. And the Apostle John says, there's no greater joy in this earth, in this world, than to see my children responding to God, responding consistently to what he has stated for us to do. It's been stated any time that you find that truth stands in your way, you may be sure that you are headed in the wrong direction. Anytime that you find that in our lives that we are not responding as God has decided that we should respond and live, we're heading the wrong direction. We're heading away from truth. Oh, that we might walk in the truth. Now, there's another very, very important reason why I'm bringing up this topic this morning, about why God is truth and the response that we should have to it. We understand that he is truth, that all source of truth comes from him. It's a quality of his own. It's a distinct quality of God that he shares with us once we become his children. If you'll turn with me to the Gospel of John, chapter 4. Now we begin to realize the importance of this truth to God's heart. In verse 23 of John chapter 4, but the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshippers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The Father today, we read, is earnestly desiring, seeking those who have believed on him, who are walking in the truth and worshiping him. You see, today there's a problem. The problem is that there is much worship, but there's very little true worship that God can accept. See, this is a matter very dear to God's heart. How can I worship God when my life is not consistent with the way God wants it to be? You can't worship God that way. Because if you are to worship God, you must do so in truth, or he will not accept it. Now, scriptures abound with illustrations concerning this point. I'd like to turn with one in the Old Testament. If you'll turn with me to the book of Numbers, and this will be the last portion we'll be turning to this morning, so you can rest your hands. Book of Numbers in chapter 16. Here we have a beautiful illustration of the importance of John chapter 4. That they who worship God must worship him in spirit, which is another quality of God, and in truth. Numbers chapter 16, we read of the incident concerning Moses with Korah, the son of Levi, and Dathan and Abiram. And we find that they rose up in verse 2 before Moses with certain of the children of Israel, 250 of them, famous in the congregation, men of renown. In other words, there was a certain group of people, of men, in the camp of the Israelites who were in the point of rejecting Moses, and yet were men that were respected in the congregation. And they gathered themselves against Moses and against Aaron and said, "Ye take too much upon you, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord?" In other words, they didn't appreciate that Moses was a leader, nor Aaron. And they were in fact jealous of their position. And Moses, when he heard it, he fell upon his face, and he spake unto Korah and unto all his company, and saying, "Even tomorrow the Lord will show who are his, who is holy, and will cause him to come near unto him. Even him whom he hath chosen will he cause to come near unto him." Now look at the test. "This do. Take your censer, Korah and all his company, and put fire therein, and put incense in them before the Lord tomorrow. And it shall be that the man whom the Lord doth choose, he shall be holy. He take too much upon you, ye sons of Levi." What was Moses' response? Well, he says, let the Lord be the judge. And Moses says, "I know of a perfect plan in which we will get a response from the Lord. Now, if you are in the right, Korah, take your censers of worship and present them before the Lord. Because if you're right, God will accept your worship. But Korah, if you're wrong, God will not accept your worship. For those who worship God must come to him in truth." So this was the test presented. And this is what happened. We find that Moses pleaded for the people. In verse 20, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, unto Aaron, saying, Separate yourselves from among this congregation, that I may consume them in a moment." This was after they put their fire in their censers. And Aaron, of course, and Moses fell on their face. In verse 22, "And said, O God, the God of the spirits of all flesh, shall one man sin, and wilt thou be wroth with all the congregation?" And so the Lord says, "Tell the people that don't want to be concerned with Korah to separate themselves from their tents." But look at the response of Korah in verse 27. "So they get up from the tabernacle of Korah, Dathan and Abiram on every side. And Dathan and Abiram came out and stood in the door of their tents, and their wives and their sons and their little children." Very defiant. They were not willing to search their hearts concerning this matter. They had their chance to repent. And Moses said, "Hereby ye shall know that the Lord hath sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind. If these men die the common death of all men, or if they be visited after the visitation of all men, then the Lord hath not sent me." And of course, we know the end of the story, how that the Lord ground, the Lord sent the ground to clave asunder, and the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their houses, and all the men that were connected with Korah, they and all that appeared to them went down alive into the pit, and the earth closed upon them, and they perished from among the congregation. And there came out a fire from the Lord and consumed the 250 men that offered incense. What was the test? You see, Moses had an understanding of who God was. He understood that God is a God of truth. And if we are to come and worship him, we have to come in truth. There cannot be anything in our lives that is displeasing to God that we have not confessed before him. We have to make sure we have searched our heart, or he will not accept our worship. Now we see this example in the Old Testament. Way before John 4 was written, the illustration of this truth. And we see those that perish because of that truth. But you know, we can turn to the New Testament and we won't. But we all remember the account in 1 Corinthians 11, where there were many that left. There were many that were, first of all, weak. There were many that were sick. And there were many that slept or had died. Why? Because they had not come to God with clean hearts. They had not come to Him in the truth of God. You see, it's a truth of God that is very dear to His heart. He will not ignore it. He is looking today. He is searching your heart. He is searching mine. He is desirous of finding those who are living in the truth so that they may worship Him. Why is He searching? Because they're hard to find. Because there are only a few who are willing to give of themselves completely to God, to come in the truth of Jesus Christ, claiming that they have no sin that they know of, no disobedience in their life that they haven't confessed, and come to God with a joyful heart. He is seeking for these. Why? Because He is a God of truth. Father, we thank Thee this morning for reminding us of what You are. You are a God that changes not. You will not deny Yourself. You are a God who stands completely and totally on what You say. We're thankful that through Thy Son, who is the truth, we have been set free, free to serve You, to give of ourselves. We no longer have a bondage about us that hinders us from doing this, because we are free indeed. And so we pray that in each of our lives this morning we have found the truth through belief in Thy Son, that we have given of ourselves to this truth and service, and lastly, that our worship might be because we are living in truth, that we are walking in truth. Oh, that we might glorify You in this sinful world, awaiting Thy return by walking in the truth. Help us in this. We're thankful for Thy Spirit, who strengthens us, who helps us in this. For in ourselves we can do nothing. And so we thank Thee for all that You've given us, for the material necessary to live for You, for the energy, for the determination that You bring into our hearts. We thank Thee, we praise Thee. We would collectively this morning fall down and worship You, who is the truth. In Jesus' name, we give Thee thanks. Amen.